We do have a good number of visitors, and we're extremely glad that you've come our way. We hope you can stick around a little bit afterwards so we can say hello to you and greet you. Definitely our hearts and our prayers are continuing with the Himmel family with the passing of Jeff's father, and know the good days are ahead for him for sure, but also we'll pray for the safety and travel for the Himmels as they return to us. If many of us have not had the opportunity to sit with royalty, I would say probably none of us have had that opportunity, but imagine if you have had received an official notice from, we'll say, a state for a state dinner at the Buckingham Palace. Your presence is requested at some future date to meet with the Queen. I know some people ooh and ah over that prospect. I'm not necessarily one of those, but it would still be a very limited invitation. It would be one of those things you would think, all right, I'm going to go, but I've got to do some things in order to get ready. So first of all, you're going to acknowledge receipt of the invitation. You're going to RSVP, and then that will kind of kick off the preparation list. You're going to purchase a tux or a formal dress. You have to look good, so we're going to begin that. You may get a haircut, get your nails done, get toenails done, shave, shower, lather, rinse, repeat, whatever says on the bottle for all that. You're going to make travel arrangements. You're going to make sure that you are there in plenty of time ahead of this event. You don't want to be late. That would not be very becoming. You're going to be meeting with royalty, so you're going to be lining up some things to make sure things are in place. You may have to hone up on your manners. How do you dress the Queen? I would definitely have to come up with the right formal greeting. What proper title do you use? You may have to rehearse that ahead of time and use your wife, use your mom, whatever, to go through that. I'd have to read up on where are the dinner place settings, which fork do I use and which one, and at what time. The napkin goes in your lap, not in your collar. You want to make sure you grab your own bread and not your neighbor's. So there's probably many other details that you would be going through in your mind in preparation for meeting with royalty. But today I want to discuss being prepared to meet the king. We are all going to be meeting royalty. Appreciate Trace reading our introductory passage this morning, Acts the first chapter, verses 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So the Lord is coming. And there are things that we need to be doing in order to prepare for that meeting with royalty. So what is the Christian's preparation? First of all, you have to acknowledge that the king is coming. Just as you would acknowledge an invite from royalty, you're going to have to RSVP. Not in the same way, because Jesus is coming whether the world believes it or not. Jesus is preparing for us, so we need to be taking this time to be preparing for him. If you'll turn over, we're going to be frequently referencing the word this morning. Over in John, the 14th chapter, Jesus let his disciples, his apostles, know where he was going. This is just prior to his crucifixion. Verses 1 through 4, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So he has returned to heaven and is preparing for us. I don't know what's all involved with that statement, but there is some expectation from us that, all right, if the Lord is preparing for us to be with him, we need to be preparing to be with him. There's also a promise of this in Revelation, the first chapter, in verse 7. Revelation 1 in verse 7. The Apostle John is writing here, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." So we have to acknowledge that the king is coming. So what do we do in the meantime? We have to be about our business. And it's not our personal business, but there's some things that the Lord expects of us. Over in 1 Thessalonians, for the 4th chapter, First Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 5. "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. For God did not, verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." And then go to verse 15 through 18. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So you'll see this consistency of the Lord returning in the clouds, that we need to be looking for that, but aligning our lives, living godly lives. You'll see here in those first few verses, we need to be living with self-control. There are some expectations that we're not living according to the lust of the earth. We are dedicating our lives to holiness and in honor, doing those things that please him there in verse 1. And then you get into those verses 15 through 18, it just reiterates the same manner in which he left us is going to be the way that he returns to us. First Peter 1, verses 13 through 19. We have instruction here to be sober-minded, to be alert, to be ready. We're preparing our minds for better things, a heavenly king that is coming. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 19. And this is, this idea here at the end of verse 13 talks about at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is regarding his appearing. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So there's several things that are listed in there for us to be readying ourselves for, preparing our minds. The English Standard Version talks about preparing your minds for action. You are keeping a mindful state of who is coming, what you should be doing with your life day to day. As obedient children, we're obeying the things that have been prescribed to us. We're being holy in all our conduct. That's our walk of life. We are aligning ourselves, preparing to meet royalty. We're going to be meeting the King, so we need to be aligning our lives with his life. Conduct yourselves with fear. Again, this speaks to the manner in which we live our lives. And it's interesting there in verse 17 how it talks about throughout the time of your stay. That's the duration of our lifetimes. Whatever time that it is, there's an idea that we are conducting ourselves in the manner in which God would have us to do that. All right, we are preparing to see a holy King, so we're also needing to be aligning our lives for that, but we're also looking longingly and hopeful for the King. 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John 3, verses 2 through 3. There's this calling for us to be pure. So there's consistency across the New Testament about a calling of the way our lives should be lived. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This idea of being hopeful, being longing for his coming, Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So we need to have this idea of eagerly waiting for him. And so there's some whys in there. Why do we eagerly wait for the Lord? Well, we get to see our Savior. We get to see our Redeemer. We get to see the one that we have seen through the eye of faith through our lifetime. But there's this coming of the Lord in which we will see him as he is. And then there's a second thing in here. We're getting a new body. And This specimen here has served me well, but it's not the thing that I need in order to live with him eternally. We don't know what that all is going to be about, but it's going to be incorruptible. It's going to be conformed to his glorious body. So we need to be continuing to keep an eternal perspective about this. So is the idea of getting a new body something, a good thing? Of course it is. How did the Apostle John react whenever he saw the glorified Christ there in Revelation 1 and verse 17? You'll remember it's right at the beginning of this revelation, and John is seeing some amazing things here. It states, after seeing him in this glorified state, he fell at his feet as dead. So whatever this glorification is going to be, it's going to be a great thing. So we need to be longing for the Lord's coming. So the next passage, 1 John 2 and verse 28. We're not to be ashamed before him at his coming. It's kind of an interesting phrase there. 1 John 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, you keep seeing this repeated thought about being children. And children are subjected to their parents in the things that we're supposed to be doing and obeying. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Jesus says something about this over in Mark, the 8th chapter. Mark 8 and verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So in what ways can we be ashamed before him at his coming? Well, we can let our own desires go before the things that Christ would have for us. It's not a convenient time. It's not a good time for me to be aligning my life for you. We're not ready to commit ourselves yet to the things that he has prescribed for us. We're not ready to abide in him. We're living for ourselves. We're sinning with those lusts of the earth that was taught against in one of those earlier passages that we looked at. The king is coming, and we need to be getting ready for our meeting with royalty. If we're off, doing our own thing, we're living, sexually immoral lives, which the Bible prescribes is against what God would have us, there will be ashamed before his coming for the way that we're living our lives. But the issue is that when he does come, it's all over for any decision making that we'll have. He will be making all of the decisions. Are we going to go to his right hand, or are we going to be going to his left hand? We need to be having that sober mind about us, be thinking about the coming of the Lord. We're preparing, but we also understand that we don't know when. We do not know when the Lord will return. I'm always amazed at the ones that want to try to predict the Lord coming, but that is not the case that anyone knows. Matthew 24, verses 36 and 37. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. But if you look down in verse 42, Jesus also states, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So this idea of being watchful, being ready, having this mind prepared for action, sober-minded. Verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour which you do not expect. So if the Lord talks about even the angels don't know when the Lord will return, that it's with the Father only, we need to also have that understanding as well. 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So there again, you have that calling there in verse 11 of what kind of people we need to be. We need to be those in holy conduct, in godliness, and that we're waiting for and hastening the coming of the day. Do you desire that? Do you pray, Lord, come quickly? If not, what are those things that we're holding on to that are holding us back from, you know, fully embracing that idea, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? All right, this morning we've spoken mostly about the Christian's preparation. What I want to talk to wrap this up is the non-Christian's preparation. We have to do the same. Non-Christians have to do the same things as Christians. We have to acknowledge that we are going to meet the King. There are some things that Christ wants of us. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, you remember that he sent his apostles out on this great commission. Jesus wants disciples. He wants the absolute best for his people, for his creation, and he expects some things in order to be aligned with him. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So there is the requirements that Christ has put down for us. We follow his commandments. We're baptized into the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that gets us in that right relationship. That gets us in a prepared mindset for the things that he would have us to do. We spoke a little bit about this on Wednesday evening. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. The reason being, when Jesus does return in the clouds, there is judgment that will be incorporated as part of that great day. Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." Jesus is coming back to reclaim those that are saved. And we have to be doing those things that he desires of us in order for him to take us home to be with him. Go ahead and get your songbooks out and turn to song number 821. Where are you in your prepared state? Do you need to get your minds ready for action? Are you ready for the Lord to return? Are you eagerly praying, "Lord, come quickly"? Or are there some things that you're holding to on this earth that, just a little bit longer, Lord, just hang out a little bit longer before I'm ready to fully commit my life to you? As we discussed, there is no guarantee. We do not know when he wants to return, but we need to be ready for that. So we need to be aligning our lives, our conduct, the way that we do that. If you're a Christian here that has not aligned your life in the way that the Lord would have us to conduct ourselves, we grant you this opportunity to let the congregation here know of repentance that you need to do for it. We'll be glad to pray for you in that regard. If you're not a Christian and you need to begin the preparation steps for your meeting with the King, we also offer this opportunity become baptized, as we discussed here this morning, to dedicate your life to him so that we all can be ready for the King's return. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing. Jesus is